Herzlich willkommen zu New York, to Zurich, täglich der Börsenpodcast von Swissquote. Ja, die normalen Marktberichte starten wieder ab diesem Mittwoch. Heute haben wir einen Sonderpodcast mit Larry Williams. Das Interview ist auf Englisch. Auf dem YouTube-Kanal von Swissquote findet ihr den Beitrag auch mit Untertiteln auf Deutsch.
Diese Sendung wird Ihnen von Swissquote präsentiert.
Wir sind in New York bei der Foundation for the Study of Cycles, einer Zyklenkonferenz. Und auf meinen nächsten Gast freue ich mich ganz besonders. Larry Williams ist eine Legende unter den Wall Street Tradern, seit den 60er Jahren aktiv. Er ist Bestseller-Autor. Er hat viele Indikatoren entwickelt, die noch heute im Trading angewendet werden. Und vor allem hat er 1987 die World Cup Championship im Futures-Handel für sich entschieden. $10.000 in 12 Monaten auf $1.1 Millionen gesteigert. Das Gleiche hat mit dem 17. Lebensjahr dann seine Tochter auch geschafft. Die hat eine große Hollywood-Karriere gemacht, Michelle Williams. Viel Spaß beim Interview.
I mean, you have been in the markets for 50 years?
62
years. So if you just review that period, what has changed? What has not changed? What's the same?
Well, it's a lot easier now.
Easier?
Yes.
In which terms?
Well, commissions used to be much higher than they are now.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I had to call my broker to place a trade. The Wall Street Journal came 3 or 4 days late.
Yeah.
Now information, instant, boom, it's right there. Commissions are very low. And I'm just on my computer to try it. It's physically easier to do this now.
How did you actually get into Wall Street? Did you start before actually taking a job on Wall Street? Did you?
No, what was the, I saw the early newspaper steps? And it said plus one on a stock. I don't know what that means. I come from a working class family of cowboys and oil diggers. So what does that mean? The guy said, if you would have bought that stock yesterday and it went up, you would have made $100. $100? In 1962, you could buy a car for $100. $100 in a day without going to work? Sign me up. I said, well, how do you do this? He said, we just guess it goes higher or lower. Well, I can guess. And I've been working hard ever since at this.
How important is position sizing in regards to not getting worried?
This is the most critical point of the market, I think. Position sizing is not money management. It's emotional management. If you're too emotional in the market, it's not because of the market, it's because of the size of your position. And what I can take emotionally is different than maybe what you can take emotionally.
How do you manage your information flow with technical analysis, so much fundamentals, media information, cycles? I mean, you're using almost everything out of that. But.
Well, I have been so fortunate to not be smart. I see all my intellectual friends, they got 15,000 indicators, and I go like, hey, I can't do that. I got like 3 indicators and that's it. And so my life is very simple. I'm using now what I used the last 40, 50 years.
How do you combine on those 3 perspectives? So fundamentals, technicals, cycles. So what do you look first and last?
First, I want fundamentals there because that's the fundamentals will drive markets, okay? Mm-hmm. Then I want to bring in technical analysis. What does technical analysis do? In my opinion, it only says this is the current condition. Because we're overbought, we should do this, but we may not do it. Cycles say, oh, now we're going to rally in an oversold condition or whatever the condition is. So fundamentals, truth of the marketplace. Technicals, where we are now. Cycles, now we're going to get a movement in the marketplace. That's how I try to combine. Again, I don't win on every trade.
So in 1987, you turned $10,000 into over $1 million within 12 months.
No, that's wrong, actually.
That was wrong.
Yes. I turned the $10,000 into $2.2
million. Say so, no. You need to remember.
And then down to Then we had the crash in 1987. I was on a safari in Africa. We're doing mechanical trading. The $2.2 million dropped down to $700,000. And I came back in October and traded the $700,000 back to $1.1 million. So that's the year my wife said, well, you lost $1 million. Because we were at 2.2 and you had at 1.1. What's wrong with you, loser?
What would you say does trading teach you for life?
Humility. That you're not as smart as you think you are. in the market and life itself. I mean, life isn't a perfect day every day. You have problems with your wife, your kids, your dog, your cats, whatever. You better be able to emotionally handle those situations. And if you don't, you'll blow up in the market, or you'll blow up in relationships.
So how would you look at today's market? So
which market?
Stock market.
Stock market. We're going to have a big rally here. I think the cycles are very bullish. The latter part of 2026 and the middle of 2027. So definitely buy breaks, stay long, you know, buy stocks, go home, get under the electric blanket turned on, just stay under the bed until come in the middle of 27, take your profits.
Yet the game did change quite a bit when you look at the derivatives market, right?
Well, I don't even know what derivatives are.
But the derivative market has such a tremendous influence now on the equity side or the gamma squeeze.
I don't think so. I think that's an argument you can make, but IBM still goes up in October. So why do I care about it? Why do I care about flash trading and incident? I don't care about that stuff because the fundamentals drive markets. There are seasonal conditions in the marketplace and the little minutia stuff. I'm not a minutia trader. Here's why. Back to trend. Trend is the basis of all profits. No trend. So here's the big question. What's the function of trend? What causes trend? Time. So a minutiae trader, a day trader, as an example, has 5 hours to make money. Can you ever catch a big trend move? Never. So I want time to have trend so a little bet can make a big amount of money.
So what you're talking is about understanding the trend, then the fundamentals should be in your favor, and then looking for cyclic conditions which give you then the possible entry?
That's all there is to it.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Yeah. How many percent do you risk per trade nowadays?
Well,
if you're not trying to win a championship?
I wish, they say, Larry, you're 84, you got a lot of wisdom. Now, you know what? I'd give you some of this wisdom to go back and be crazy again for a couple of years. It'll be so much fun. But my risk now is maybe 7 to 8%, usually 5%, but I'll go up to 7 or 8%. But it's not where it used to be when I was a kid and thought I knew everything.
So you wouldn't recommend the normal 0.5 to 2%? But
okay. That's for old people. Yeah. That's for money managers. See, as a personal trader, I've had equity swings. They don't bother me. But if you're managing other people's money, you can't have an equity swing or it can't be very much. So that game was totally different than what traders do, individual traders. So, yeah, for money managers, 2% risk, thanks to Peter Borsch. He's the guy who made Paul Tudor Jones famous, in my opinion, because he put, Paul was like me, a kamikaze trader. Paul brought in Peter, and Peter put the money management into the trading, great trader.
Are there mistakes that you would never make again?
Oh, geez. How much time do we have here? I've made so many mistakes. Still do. But the biggest mistake I probably ever made is believing myself. I mean, you have to believe in yourself, but you can't believe in your position. Like, I believe I'm going to come out of whatever is going on. I lose all my money. I'll still survive. I don't care. But if I believe in my position too much, I won't get out because I've got to be right. We all want to be right.
How would you recommend somebody get into the experience of
trading? I might tell them to stay in college. Find something else to do. This business of trading will grab your soul, rip your heart out, and leave skeletons on Wall Street. It is a dangerous thing to do. It's very addictive to do. So I usually tell people, this isn't for you. It takes a person that's willing to be a speculator, to go through pain, to go through. It's going to take 4 or 5 years before you get good at this, if you're even good at all. So it's not an instant path to wealth.
How did trading change you as a person?
It gave me confidence, I think. It allowed me to meet some amazing people around the world. Oh my gosh, the people I've met is such a blessed thing. The fact that I made money in a nice lifestyle, that's material, whatever.
What does money mean to you?
Money to me is an energy flow. And if you try to grab onto energy, it'll stop. You need to let it flow. You need to use that correctly. Like, yeah, I want to help in this area or that area. It's a flow of energy. You can do a lot of things with it, but it's in a way, it's numbers. I mean, you want to have more of those numbers, clearly. We all want to. But as you start to get it, you realize, like, this is a game. It's numbers. I mean, so what? I can trade. I mean, I have my son, the doctor. He saves people's lives. I have a daughter that's a school teacher. She saves kids' lives. My teacher does, like, they're doing something. I'm just generating profits. So, you know, what I do is, like, it doesn't change the world. It changes my world and maybe some people around me, but it's, I'm not saving lives.
I think you wrote how many books? 10 books now already?
It's probably 9, 10, 11 or something. Oh, yeah. Some not on the market. Those are the most interesting books.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So I know you're working on a new book. So do you
I'm working on a book on cycles now. I think this is my the last hurrah. I originally got into cycles in 1967. Faded away from it. I've come back to it. Maybe as the perspective of an older person say, you know, what's causing these things? Mm-hmm. Why does inflation go up on a consistent basis? Why rates go up and down consistently? What's the driving force of this? So I got into cycles, and thanks to the Cycles Foundation, got a lot of research, some other research, and put together my view of what's wrong with cycles, where to use cycles, which ones work, which ones don't work. And hopefully, I made a forecast out to about 2030, 2040 to see, can I predict the future? Because William's really as good as he thinks he is. We'll find out. It's going to take us 20 years to know. But
when you look at cycles and you say that your average holding period is maybe 5 to 7 days, does that work on such a short time frame?
That probably talks more about my emotions than the cycles. I get in a position. Why do I get in a position? To make money. So if I get a profit, I made money, I'm out. So
you
I
don't
may
care
get back.
About the cycles then afterwards. So
no, that's a problem that I still have. I think we all do. I had a trade in wheat a couple of weeks ago. I bought it, went up, hit my target, got out, then went higher. Damn, so upset. What I was really angry with myself. Then wheat came down. I go, look how smart I am. I got out. So you're always emotionally irritated with yourself. And they go, it'll go up. Come if I missed it. We took a position to get a profit. If you got a profit, God bless it. Take it, get out, and don't be upset if it goes higher.
You know, it's so funny. That's one of the things I love about trading, is that by the end of the day, those experiences, so those reactions, we all share,
all the
right?
Same.
We all go through these moments of being right or wrong, and having losing trades is a part of the game. You can't always win. But then being able to, I made a huge mistake this year. I should just do media. That's really the best for me. I shorted the semiconductors and I started.
You were just early.
Yeah, I was like, I just had too much money. I mean, and now I have less money. So.
Oh, I've never been there.
But, you know, it's funny, the emotions that you go through of you're losing, you're wrong, you should have known better, because I've been doing this for over 30
Always.
Years now. And why did I do it?
And I had too big of a position.
The position was too big. And I knew everything that I did wrong, I already knew ahead of time.
Yeah. The market is not your friend. It is your enemy. And you have to always think of, this is my enemy. This is how God wants my money. And it's going to entice me by being so high, I think I should sell it short, or so low it's a buy. That was my worst trade. Cattle went low, it was set up, and we went lower. It can't. That's a steal. So I sold some at a low price. So it went lower. I could steal more. Finally, I didn't have any money left to buy cattle with, and I was tapped out. Like, so market's doing what it's doing. Hey, dude, acknowledge that. But we want to say, I called the top. I'm like, I've called. I know I've had millions of trades in my life. I think I shorted the high one market, bought the low one market. Out of hundreds of millions of trades, I should have done better than that. I'm the legend, right? I didn't. You're not going to. It's like you're in here to take a profit.
Thank you, Larry. So thanks for taking your time. I think what you're telling us is you're still consistent to your basic rules, so fundamentals, technicals, cycles, how you combine that. You don't see any fancy stuff out there which is changing things, so you still stay with that.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe it's just because I'm an old man.
No.
Old people tend to shut things off. Go, I don't care. It's like, look, this has worked. I think you got to keep it really simple in this business.
Yeah, that's the takeaway.
You get way too fancy. You go, no, you know what?
How many screens do you have?
How many, pardon?
You know, I know a lot of traders. They have like 12 screens. They're sitting in front
12
of.
12 screens? I have one screen.
So I think that's the message.
That's exactly
that's the message. Larry, thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Thank you very much. Thanks guys. Appreciate it. Thank you.
So much.
Enjoyed it. Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you guys.
Inhalt dient ausschließlich Informations- und Bildungszwecken und richtet sich an Personen mit Kenntnissen der Finanzmärkte. Er stellt keine Anlage-, Rechts- oder Steuerberatung dar. Handel und Investitionen bergen Risiken, einschließlich Kapitalverlust. CFDs und digitale Vermögenswerte sind volatil und nicht für alle geeignet. Swissquote übernimmt keine Verantwortung für die Genauigkeit oder Verluste aus der Nutzung. Produkte und Dienstleistungen werden nur angeboten, wo dies gesetzlich zulässig ist.